We'll continue in our series in prayer. This will be almost the second part on this particular series, or this particular morning hour, which is the second part of the Lord's Prayer. If you were here last time I taught on this message, I dealt with the address. There's six petitions, six requests in the Lord's Prayer. And you also have the address, the way we approach God. The way we approach God, the way Jesus is teaching His disciples. He says, pray then like this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. And that's the passage we'll be in, Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. But we dealt with the address last time, how we approach God. And Jesus teaches us that we address God as our Father. What a blessing that we have this privilege to come to God as our Father. It never began that way. It had to be a process of being born again that we can address God as Father. To them, He gave the right to be born and called children of God, born again. And this is a blessing. Just a quick review of what was taught last time is that we have this blessing that when Jesus says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, address God as your Father. And this is a blessing because God could have, said to address Him as King of Kings or Lord of Lords or the Judge of all the earth. But He comes in this way, in this sweet notion, this sweet title as a Father. And it's a blessing to come before God like that. And also mention things that God the Father perfects all the qualities of a Father. He perfects all of them. His fatherly care, His fatherly love, His provision. So He's a good Father. But there's six requests in this model of prayer. The six requests deal with God's name being hallowed. So you have the first three requests is regarding God's name, regarding God's kingdom, regarding God's will. And the last three is dealing with our daily bread and our daily needs and our forgiveness of sins and forgiving others. And last of all, it deals with us not being led into temptation, but being delivered from evil. So these are the six requests. And we'll be dealing with the first one, the first request, which is regarding God's name. And it says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Jesus is instructing His disciples how to pray. He's teaching them this model of prayer, which is known as the Lord's Prayer. You also have this model of prayer in Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4. And He says, pray like this. He says, pray like this. Hallowed be your name. This is the first request that the Lord Jesus is teaching His disciples what to ask God, what to request from God. And He mentions this, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. What does this word hallow mean? Well, the word hallow means it's basically just a quick definition. It means to render or acknowledge, to be holy, declare sacred or holy. Also, other Bible translations might be helpful in this way. They use it like this. They say, may your name be kept holy. May your name be honored as holy. Let thy name be sanctified. And then there's one that I think fits for our teaching. It says, may your name be treated as holy. That's what it means here. May your name be treated as holy. The word hollow, it's a word, it's a verb here. It has action. We're actually saying, we're requesting to God, bring this about. Let your name be treated as holy. Let your name be treated as holy. And Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer, the first request, He begins with God's name being treated as holy. By this teaching, by the Lord's Prayer, you can tell the heart of Jesus. He's concerned about the glory of God. He's concerned about God's name. He's concerned about that. And this is the right person to come ask how to pray. This is the right person to listen to his way of teaching in prayer. He says, you know, this is how you should pray. Pray in this manner. Hallowed be your name. You also have this kind of attitude in the Lord Jesus in like John chapter 12, verse 28, where he says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. So Jesus is really concerned about the name of God being treated as holy, because God deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be shown reverence to. And like I said, Jesus is the right person to be teaching this prayer. The right person to be asked how to pray. This is the reason why you have one of his disciples in Luke chapter 11. When they asked Jesus, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, Luke 11 chapter 1. When he finished praying in a certain place, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he gave him this model of prayer. This is the right person to ask how to pray. I mean, the disciples didn't want to come to the Pharisees because Jesus talked about them in Matthew chapter 6, the way they were praying. They were not focused upon the glory of God, but the praise of men and the attention of men. So these disciples come to the right person to ask how to pray. A person, our Lord Jesus, our Savior, who is focused upon the glory of God, exalting His name, giving Him praise and honor. And He teaches this. Pray in this way. Hallowed be your name. One thing I think it's good to know, that this is a model of prayer. This is not something that we're strictly, this is the only way to pray. These are the only words to use. It's just a model of prayer that helps us in our own prayer life. This is the reason why Jesus taught it. It would be helpful for us to learn about the things we ought to pray. But it's not strictly something that we should pray. It's not something that we're tied down to pray to. Because we have other examples of prayers in the scriptures. Like last week, Stephen preached. He taught on Ephesians chapter 1 on Paul's prayers. And you have other prayers regarding the Apostle Paul requesting. He says, pray for us that God may open us a door. So just a balanced view that we're not strictly only to pray this model of prayer, but it's a help. It can help us in our walk and what to say. I think a good question is this. Why request that God's name be treated as holy? And just a side note too, that when it says, let your name be treated as holy, what it means by your name, just talking about everything that's revealed about God, everything that's revealed about God, all His attributes, everything that's made known about Him, His character. So that's what it means when it says God's name to be treated as holy. It's basically saying, treat God as holy. Everything that's revealed about Him. Because when you think about someone's name, you're reminded of that person, what they do, what they say, who they are. So when we're reminded of God's name, we consider all His attributes. We think about who He is, how He's revealed in Scripture, how He has revealed Himself to us personally. So the question again is, why request that God's name be treated as holy? Well, a simple reply is that because He's holy. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the praise. And another reason, because people are not treating God as holy. This is the reason why the request, a really good reason for the request, let your name be treated as holy, because there's people in the world that's not treating God's name as holy. They're not honoring Him. As I think you quoted in your message, brother, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But that's not the chief end of man in our land. They don't honor God as holy. And this is what's on the Lord Jesus' mind when He's teaching this prayer request. Ask this of God. Pray this to God. He says that God's name be treated as holy. Now Romans 1 deals with that, how people are not treating His name as holy. Romans chapter 1, it says this, 21 through 28, it says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God as for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they changed the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So therefore you have the whole world not worshiping God. They're not treating His name as holy. People who have been made in the image of God are not treating His name as holy. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is how God will cause His name to be treated as holy in salvation, how God will cause His name to be treated holy in our sanctification, and how God will be cause His name to be treated holy in His justice. But we'll be focusing more, I probably won't touch on the others, just on the one that God will cause His name to be treated as holy in salvation. So yeah, you have humanity not treating God as holy. This is the reason, one of the reasons why Jesus teaches this. Pray that God's name be treated as holy. Ask this of God. Because you see the world, they're fallen, they're against God, they break all His commandments. That's who we were outside of Christ, living in sin, living in totally contrary to God. We didn't care about His commandments, but we totally broke every one of them. Like the first three commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to worship Him, and not to worship any other gods or bow down to them. And the third one is, do not use the Lord God's name in vain. I like the Westminster Larger Catechism on this question, 111. It says this, which is the third commandment? The third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. And then question 112, what is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requires that the name of God, His titles, His attributes, and His ordinance, the word, sacraments, prayer, and oaths, vows, lots, His works, and whatsoever else there is whereby He makes Himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, and writing, by an holy profession, and an answerable conversation, to the glory of God and the good of others, and the good of ourselves and others. But we live in a world where people are not treating God as holy. Why? Because people are born in sin. People are dead in sins. You know, the job that I work at in the kitchen, there's actually people there that I have witnessed. They make fun of the commandments of God. They blaspheme God. And they live certain ways that just contrary to God. They were made in the image of God, and they're using their life and the way they live just totally against God. They don't worship Him. And I find myself being flippant about it. I find myself looking at them and there's no grief. I should be praying more for them. I should be praying this morning. I'm glad we're teaching this, that God's name be treated as holy. So when we begin to see someone that's living in sin, we can see that, man, he's not treating God. He's not honoring God. He's not worshiping God. This is what the Apostle Paul felt when he walked in one of those cities and he seen the place taking over idols. It said that he began to feel, I don't know how the word is, but he basically began to reason with the people because he's seen the place given over to idols. He's seen these people worshiping idols and not worshiping God. They were not worshiping God at all. So knowing man's condition, that matter of fact, outside of Christ, he cannot treat God's name as holy. He can't do nothing. He's born in sin.
He's dead in sin. And he's living according to the course of the world. So it's impossible for man to treat God as holy. This is the reason why our Lord is teaching us to pray that God will cause His name to be treated as holy. That He would cause His name to be treated as holy. And how is He going to do that? Well, the first is by that He will cause His name to be treated as holy in salvation. And the passage I want to show you this that would be helpful to see this clearly would be in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, where you begin to see this, God treating His name as holy. And it's a really, I'm pretty sure, a passage we're all familiar with. They're talking about the work of regeneration. But in Ezekiel 36, you begin to see this. And we can start from verse 16, and we'll end at 28. These will be a lot of verses. This will be helpful, though. This is an important question. Important question is how is God going to do this? Well, He's going to do it Himself. In Ezekiel 36, you find this. Verse 16, it says this: "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman and her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nation where they came, they profaned my holy name." You see, these people, they're not treating God's name as holy. "And the people said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they had to go out of this land." Verse 21. Look what the Lord says: "But I had concern for my holy name, which is the house of Israel have profaned among the nations to which they came." Verse 22. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations which you came." And he goes on and says this in verse 23, "And I will vindicate," highlighting that word, "I will vindicate the holiness of my great name." That's that same word there. I will vindicate. You know, in the, I'm not too much into Greek or nothing like that, but I know that the Greek Septuagint, they translated these words Hebrew. They translated some words Hebrew words into Greek. And you find that same word there, "I will vindicate," is the same word they use in the New Testament there in Matthew, where he says, "Hallowed be your name." And he says this, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. I will cause my name to be treated as holy." If you can read it like that. For my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I will vindicate my holiness before their eyes." The question we are trying to answer is, how is God going to do this? How is He going to hallow His name? It's found in the following verse. Verse 24, "And I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone." It's a good passage to know that salvation belongs to the Lord, because there's a lot of verses that says, I will do this. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people,
and I will be your God. So this is a really good Old Testament passage that shows you how God begins to work in a person who was totally against Him, just like we were outside of Christ, not worshiping God, not concerned about His ways, not concerned about Jesus, loving Christ, but we been saved through the work of redemption by believing the Savior, by trusting Him. And He did that work. He put within us a new spirit that responds to Him by faith, repentance, and trusting in Christ. And He caused us to worship Him. This is a really good passage dealing that how God is going to treat His name as holy by finding someone who's not worshiping Him and changing Him for His great love. A good passage show you how God will cause His name to be treated holy, as holy. You find in Malachi the same kind of verses in a way where it says, "And I will through the rising of the sun to its setting, I will be great among the nations. My name will be great among the nations." I mean, God is concerned. In this first request that we have to God, Jesus is teaching us, pray this, that God's name will be treated as holy. Because He's concerned about the nations. He's concerned that His name is not being treated holy. And He's concerned about His people that haven't come to Him. But His name will be great among the nations through the preaching of the gospel. You know, another thought of this that our Lord is teaching me, that this is what you should pray, this is what you should request. Notice that, what a privilege that we have to be involved in this. He doesn't have to use our prayers. He doesn't have to, but He has allowed us to participate in praying that people be saved, that people will cause His name to be treated as holy. I think that's a great privilege that us, God calls us to pray concerning these things. I mean, this is a prayer for our family, isn't it? For our lost families, that they truly be saved. But ultimately, we want them to worship God. We want them to glorify God. We want them to worship the Savior. We want them to believe in the Savior. So another thought, just another point, is that God will cause His name to be treated as holy in our sanctification. And not only does He do the work of regeneration in our lives, but sanctification. And He calls His name to be treated as holy in our sanctification. The same Spirit that God poured upon us the moment that we believed in Christ is the same Spirit that regenerated us. And it is the same Spirit that helps us put to death the deeds of the flesh. As Romans 8 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live." I mean, this is a good prayer. And this is we can ask God, who will give us His Holy Spirit to put to death these things. And I know that I need to put to death many things. I can name some of them. Laziness, unkindness, impatient, and I want God to be treated as holy. I need to call to God to help me put these things to death. And He's willing to answer, because this is according to His will, that His name be treated as holy. So He's willing to answer. He's willing to help us regarding our sanctification. And another good verse will be found in 1 Peter 3, where that same word is there. 1 Peter chapter 3, regarding our sanctification. And we all know the areas in our life that we need to grow in. We need to be treating God as holy. This is the reason why the Apostle Peter says this, in the context of responding to people who treat us wrong, in the context of a difficult situation. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks to you,
to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence. That's the same word, but sanctify. Treat Christ as holy in your hearts. Scenario we all need to grow in. I know for sure for me. And actually, and then the last one is that God will cause His name to be treated as holy in His justice. God will carry out justice for those who don't believe in Him, who don't treat His name as holy. He would carry out His justice. For the Bible says that all men will give an account before God. The Scriptures teach that we're all going to die one day and stand before God. And if you're not in Christ, then God has to carry out His justice and treat His name as holy. Because He's holy. And if you don't know Christ, then the second petition, your kingdom come, is actually a terrifying request. Because what happens when the kingdom comes is that Jesus comes and we must stand before Him. This is a terrifying. If for the saints, it is a glorious truth. We want to see Christ face to face. As I heard one person say, that the heart of eschatology is seeing Christ face to face. But for the unbeliever, you don't want to see Christ because He has to carry out justice. And if you're not in Christ, He'll have to send you to hell for eternity because God is an eternal God. He's worthy of worship. And that leads us to our second petition, but I'm not going to cover that. But those who have been spiritually awakened by God, who have been transferred from the domain of darkness and transferred unto the kingdom of His beloved Son, those are those who desire to pray, let your kingdom come. So that's just an encouragement to everyone here that we want to pray that God's name be treated as holy. Not only in salvation of others, but in our own sanctification. And we just want that. May the Lord help us, and that's going to be my message there.